Well, let's try that again. Hi. Oh, technical issues. Don't you just love it? Hey. Thank you. There we go. Just needed to pull down the focus. Hi. Welcome to the Immaterial Gamers podcast. My name is Ryan, and I am joined by Duncan. That was a whole setup.
They just edit Halo music playing over that during the the VOD, you know?
Yeah.
Just be as I rise from the ether.
You all going to hell.
Yeah, no, I was planning that for ages.
Making sure.
There we go. And then if autofocus can then oh come on. I hate this. And I'm also joined by Steph while I sort this out. Hey.
The fourth member of this podcast is Ryan's focus.
Yeah. Yeah, just how it is. Right, I know what I need to do.
Ryan,
I need to open the window. Well, it did what? It's doing what it's doing. It's fine. I'm here. It's all good.
And that's what really counts.
Yeah.
Even if we can't see you, we can hear your voice.
Oop.
Oh, he's playing with a Zoom.
Zoom. God damn.
All right, we are 2 minutes and 15 seconds of this podcast, and we have yet to talk about anything other than Ryan's camera.
Yeah, well,
Zoom.
Haven't even introduced what the hell we're doing. Who are we? Who the fuck are you?
Well, I did. I introduced myself as you were rising from your grave. I'm Ryan. And I was called on very last minute to do this podcast this week.
I blame the PC.
Yeah, I blame the PC.
Strange enough, not his PC.
What?
Not his PC.
Hold on. He's not here because he needed to reformat not his PC.
Yep.
Yeah, he just told me we installed Windows. He didn't tell me on who.
He had reinstalled Windows, but that was yesterday.
Yeah, but that was the reason I got told I needed to do this week.
Yesterday, you said tomorrow.
And tomorrow, I said today. Now, who's on first?
Today, you said Thursday.
Well, I was making the Shia LaBeouf reference.
I was making the who's on first. Bad jokes.
We're making two different incompatible references. The joke is dead.
Incompatible. So this is generally a gaming podcast, generally.
Hypothetically.
Questionably.
It's a video game podcast full of people who don't play video games.
Well, I play video
because
games.
Because every week there's always at least one person who's like, I haven't played anything.
Yeah, that's a
whole
that's
week,
point.
7 days.
Yeah, what have you played?
Exactly.
I'm abuse the volume on the screen. There we go. Don't worry. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
If a man comes from behind your curtain, Brian, I'll be concerned.
Okay. Right. So based on this, then, given the fact that I've not been here for 3 weeks,
Brian's played everything.
Yeah. Should we sort of discuss where I've been and what I've done?
Come on, Ryan. Tell us about the people you've murdered.
Let's spend the whole podcast talking about Ryan.
Hey, what difference does that make? It's normally about Ryan, even when he's here. Oh, not here.
What? So you talk about me even when I'm not here? So you have the chance to talk about anyone else and anything else?
Yeah,
and yet you still talk about me.
You know,
if you watch the podcast. If we were live.
I try to watch. Wow, that's gonna be a fun bit. Rip headphone users. Been busy. Been setting up this season's or this Splits Fantasy League tournament, which we're in the process of now. Steph is not seeing any evidence of this. Steph is begging for someone to beat him. Anyone.
He's dead at this minute.
He's begging to be dethroned because he doesn't want to be the winner forever. Do you have a trophy?
No.
Oh no, because he doesn't want it. The trophy's still here.
Has anyone other than you ever received the trophy?
Nope.
No, because COVID prevented it getting over to Terry.
Relax.
And then it's been in the UK for the rest of the time. And no one else has wanted it. Imagine the mail just decides
it's not going to work anymore because of COVID. It's just like, come on, man. Some could have happened.
No, it's airmail. I've been watching Loading Ready Run mail time podcasts where they've received something from someone from Christmas the year before. Because COVID fucked up delivery international mail. Local mail. Generally is about 75% effective as anything else. Couriers? Kind of works.
Local mail?
Yeah,
mail. If you get your mail the week it was sent, something's wrong. Oh, if you get the year after, there was something definitely right.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, me and Martin ended up getting a letter from our housing association dated 3 days after the deadline date that they gave on the letter. Worst bit of that was hand-delivered. But still.
Rip.
Still, that's gone with the legal
team.
Got
them hand-delivered?
Yeah. Turns out, our housing association's legal team has a way of trying to fuck around with rules so they can try and get stuff sorted. If they want a tenant out, and they want them out legally, they have to, apparently break the rules. Oh, that's why my mic's not working. Why it's in a different place. No, camera, you don't need to watch this. I mean, you can.
Quick, camera, zoom in and enhance.
Yeah.
Focus on the microphone.
There we go. But, yeah. Anyway, basically, Housing Association, we're trying to mess around by a letter that was dated Friday, was hand-delivered the following Tuesday, with a 3-day deadline, not a working day deadline, a 3-calendar day deadline. So it was already past deadline by the time we received it. We phoned them up and told them, what the fuck are you doing? And they went, oh yeah, that'll go to our legal team. I'm very sorry, 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 sorry. My autofocus means I can't even slink out of shop because no, he's trying to.
Well, you're the one who installed it. It's just like I can't say that it's ever been like immensely useful. You've just decided to put it on, and it's mostly just ruined your shots for the most part.
Well, it's because it's also
randomly tracks you in the background when you're walking by, and you know, it's just like, you know, it ruins your whole your body language movement. It's just like it's like you keep it on.
Yeah, well.
It's like, look at the cool technology thing I can do with my thing. It's like, oh, we're all very impressed.
Well, I tried cool technology and, you know, it does what it needs to do. But anyway, yeah, Fantasy League, done that. I did a non-Let's Play video.
Did you?
I did. And it was received it was received very well by the musicians that were involved in the video that the subject was about, because last time I was on, all I talked about was Soundfall and about how I love Soundfall and it's a great game and we should all play it one time. But everyone's all rhythmically challenged, as I keep getting told by people. Terry doesn't want to play because he can't keep to a beat. D doesn't want to play because they can't keep to a beat.
I don't want to play, not because of that though.
Steph doesn't want to play because it requires a bit of it requires 5 minutes of focus.
What?
Do. But yeah, so I did a little immaterial take on something we've not done for years, on just the songs that to me, and this is the aim of it, the songs to me epitomize or like are the example of each different biome in the game. Just as a recap on that, every biome in Soundfall has a different genre of music attached to it. Or style, or tempo, tone, whatnot. So, like, one area is just full of pop music, and the other, another area is full of metal. And
wow, that would be Hades. That's Hades.
Yeah. And then, like, another does like EDM and trance, and one does chiptune and dubstep. And so it's like, you know, the whole aim, the project was, out of a list of over 100 songs, which one makes each area. And I enjoyed it, and it was a tough one to do, but I got it there, especially when I go on the idea that I like pretty much the whole soundtrack. So yeah, it was out there, and it got a positive reception, so I'm happy with that. Personal project, all good.
Well, that sounds like fun. I'm glad to making different kinds of content.
Yeah, well, so that's just sort of the thing. It's just like, I'm now getting to a point, and I'll make it clear on this. My editing style is still, but if anyone ever comes up with a script they want to write and do that, I'll put stuff to it together, as long as it's not time sensitive. Then it's all good. Like
lad over here, 30 views. That's the most popular video we've made in like a month.
30 views and 5 likes. Two comments from two of the musicians included in the game. So yeah, it does. One of the comments does put pay to an attempted video game challenge because of limitations on the game. Because it's procedurally generated, you can import your own songs in the game and it will procedurally generate a level based on that music. And I made an offhand comment of you probably saw one of the comments there from the trance DJ and record producer Miyuki. I made an offhand comment of a video of having a joke of just saying, getting a call from the dev just saying, right, we've got a video game challenge. Do one level in this game set to a 3-hour song. it turns out she tried. It didn't work. It crashed.
Ah, well, that's unfortunate.
So I'm very tempted on the point of just trying to see what the longest song I can import on the game without it crashing is. So we know 3 hours is too much, but the longest song...
So 2 hours and 59 minutes is next?
Well, I was about to say, somewhere between 8.5 minutes and 2 hours, 59 minutes. I was thinking just to test the waters, just to get 2112 by Rush, which is a song length of 20 minutes and 38 seconds. So it's a step up. And then we can just narrow the window down. Or what I will look forward to, a patch will happen where the procedural generation is capable of doing 3 hours.
Perfect.
I will be happy with any of them. Because more reasons to play the game is fine for me. And then other than that, I've just been chilling out cutting ships.
Cutting ships, yeah. I hear you're decompressing ships and causing mass death.
Mass death of me. So the game's called Hard Space Shipbreaker, and it's one of those sim games. Hey, the Jaffa is here to say evening. Hi, Paul. Where am I? What was I saying? Yeah, so the game, it's one of those sim games, but one of those sort of the weirder sim games, like House Flipper or PC Building Sims, something that's just, you know, not like Euro Truck Simulator or Farming Simulator or all that. There's sort of a sim game that has a bit of, what's it called? A bit of a storyline to it. And in Shipbreaker, it's pretty self-explanatory. You break down ships. You work for a company in space, breaking down ships, components at a time, to earn money. Or, in the storyline for the game, pay off your extraordinarily high debt. It does have a bit of a storyline, and it is a satire on capitalism and indentured servitude and unions.
He's in more debt than all of us put together with student loans.
I am probably in more debt than, yeah, Well, a lot more, significantly more. So you start in the future. Earth is now basically Wally Land.
You always start in the present. That's how that works.
Well, you start in the year. So whatever goofy. The fuck. Yeah, so you start on a ravaged Earth. It's polluted. Everything's all great, but companies are in the stars, and they've taken over the entire Milky Way, and everything's thriving in a business, or so they tell you. You find out some data drives later that say it's not as great as the propaganda tells you, but don't worry about it. So you've been given an opportunity to join Lynx Salvage, a shipbreaking corporation in deep space. You're like, yeah, okay. Cool, I'll sign up. You misread your contract, and they tell you, well, we're going to bring in an Everwork system that allows you to continue to work even on your death. We've got a spare, ready to go, just using your DNA. If you die, make a clone, don't worry about it. You can continue to work. What it does actually just require is we kill you first. You're like, pardon, fuck? Well, no, it's clearly explained in the contract, subclause 31, to take your genetic material destroys the original body. Can I back out of this? You respawn in your first spare and realize that you're $1.2 billion in debt.
It's an expensive thing to clone someone.
Yeah. They also rent out all your gear, and there's interest on the repayments, and basically they effectively, the storyline is you're forced to work for them and pay off this debt.
Something about this from premise reminded me of The Outer Worlds, which it's not even a game I'm familiar with. I haven't played it. I've just heard about it.
Oh, like corporations in space being absolute dickwads.
Corporatocracy in space, money is everything, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, and everyone's all after you. But you do your first jobs, and you've been given a handler, a little bit of a trainer, and then you meet other people who are all paying off their debts, and you start to come together that you're realizing very, very quickly you've been exploited by this corporation. I mean, it takes you about one day to realize that, but, you know. But as you level up and you take on bigger and more difficult ships, you start off with just being able to take out panels and everything's all great, and then suddenly you're dealing with like nuclear reactors and decompressions of ships and more complex ways to deconstruct them. This storyline sort of evolves of the people that you're speaking to slowly realizing that they probably want to form a union, and the company not liking that and sending an administrator, read Union Buster, to your station to fuck things up, like raising the difficulty level of the ships past what you're capable of doing to try and force you to explode and spend money on replacing yourself with spares. One line involves the administrator turning off the suit control of one of the people as an excuse to practice deep breathing and yoga. She's panicking a lot because it turns out by turning off her suit control, she was heading towards a furnace. Which, you know.
They're all over the place in space, you know? It's just furnaces. You gotta watch out for them, you know?
I mean, to be fair, you're working on your own. Sun. Yeah, you're working on your own, like, personal deconstruction station. You've got, like, a little habitat, it's basically just a bed sit, and then you've got, like, a little personal station with furnaces, some extractors and a barge and stuff like that. But yeah, no, it's peaceful. It's really peaceful until you realize you're fucked up, and then it goes very panicky for about 5 seconds before you realize there's not much I can do. Like, for example, there's a bit where, well, reactors, they stay on the ship and they're all fine until you pull them out of their casing, at which point they start melting down, and you have a few seconds to flunk it into the barge where it suddenly stops melting down due to gravity dampening, which I don't really know how that stops nuclear meltdowns, but just roll with it, it's fine. But then, you know, there's just like other bits like electricals frying your systems, pulling out a wrong fuel tank explodes a ship. There's plenty of stuff in it, but other than that, it's peaceful, and I would recommend it just to chill out, really. And that's basically been me. Other than joining in with other stuff. So the floor is yours.
It feels like something about the way your Steph's fake green screen effect. It kept looking like your character was like dripping something red on your shoulder.
Oh, you see, I don't see that. You see, to me, I
crush the heart of your enemies, and it's just dripping all over your shoulder.
Well, you see, I see to me that Steph's like character's hands are just holding his head. He's just nestled in his character, just like.
He's like, yeah, I'm about to give you a chiropractic adjustment. It's like,
did it work? No.
Hello. It's like, sir.
So, are you okay?
It's like, damn it, lost another one.
That course, man. That course, it just did not work. Did not work at all. So, Duncan, I know that before we started talking, you were struggling to say what you actually played, but I mean, we can always discuss how like you past. I'd say you've been on for the past couple of weeks anyway, so maybe. Happened in your last 7 days, really.
I've been busy. My work weeks are so long these days. It's ridiculous. Mm. Excuse me. What have I played? I've been playing a lot more Fire Emblem Three Houses. Everyone's moving on to Fire Emblem Three Farts or whatever.
Three Heroes. They won't be. I mean, to be fair, Three Heroes isn't that basically? It's a Warriors game, isn't it? It's a Musou game.
Yeah, it's like I just have no interest in it really because it's just not a genre game I'm super interested in.
Mm.
But
I mean, that would work for me. I love Musou games. Steph likes Musou games.
No, I see. See how it is.
But no, like
you guys, you guys can play it for me and tell me how it is.
I mean, I'll say personally, from what I've been dipping in and out of. Legally, while I've been in work and while I've been able to hear and so that, I've heard you're starting to settle in a little bit on the whole maddening mode thing, especially compared to where you were beforehand. I can't see that, Steph. It's gone. You've become a Hyrule Warriors. There you go. There's your proof.
There you go. Hyrule Warriors. Yeah, I mean, Maddening Mode, it really kicks your butt. Every once in a while, there's a mission that really just sends you for a loop. Mm. You know, a lot of times I have to just restart a mission just because there's nothing I can do about it. But, you know, I'm averaging it one story mission per stream, which doesn't sound great. It's not, considering I would have to get through, like, 23 of these damn things to beat the game. That's a lot of streams.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping maybe I'll pick it up the pace at some point.
Well, you got the ability to, so you know. That works. And I say now that you're settling in it, I feel that you're a bit more sort of comfortable. I say comfortable, I mean, you know, the fact that, you know, there's still gonna be in Fire Emblem style, there's gonna be that one bad roll.
Yeah, well, the thing of it is what's really tough is that I'm playing like what I consider to be like the toughest route, because the big problem with the Black Eagles is that they have the highest number of mages out of any route, which has two problems. Number one, your team is considerably less durable than the other teams. So, you know, on Maddening Mode, when everyone does a billion damage and hits you twice every single time, that's a problem.
Yeah. And then all you're able to do is fling out like spells with limited charges.
Yes, and that's the exact other problem, is that until we get to the point, until we get to the higher stages of Magedom, where the quantity of spells is kind of irrelevant because of how many I can have, it gets problematic when my mages run out of their spells, and then all I can do is hit people with sticks, and that usually does zero damage or one damage, something to that effect.
Yeah.
And the best part is that the only character that I have any plan on attempting to recruit is another mage. So
that doesn't work out, does it? This would be the all mages
build.
Yeah.
At least it's a healer, but, you know, Mercedes is the best healer, so maybe that'll help pseudo tank.
Mm. Yeah.
And I've been playing a lot more on my personal file as well, because I have imagining mode file that I've been playing off and on for like a year and a half.
Mm.
And I'm getting close. I think I'm only like a few missions away from beating it. Yep, now I just grind away at it every once in a while.
Yeah. That's the thing, isn't it? It's like I said, what you've got there is it's effectively long term project.
Yeah, no, I've got a lot of that's. I mean, Fire Emblem games on the whole are long term projects. Fire Emblem games are so long, and if you have to reset for any reason, they just get longer.
Mm.
And it's a lot. It's a lot of content in those games.
Aye, but for those that put the mythical gameplay time to value argument in process, there's a lot of time.
But, oh yeah, no, I'm definitely getting my money's worth out of Fire Emblem games. You know, I can think of a number of games where I've played full AAA price on the game, and you know, I played it for a couple hours or never played it at all, and then, you know, I either forgot about it, it went to waste, or whatever, the server shut down and it just stopped existing.
Mm.
I'm looking at you, Evolve.
Oh, life saves.
Anybody remember Evolve? Asymmetrical gameplay?
Yeah, it was, the concept was cool. The three humans taking on one
big alien boy.
Yeah. That initially, to begin with, had to just, with its levels of evolution, roll credits.
That's like the whole point of the game, yeah.
Yeah, starts off as prey, it's prey, and then near the end of the game,
yeah, level one alien, not so great. Level two, it can kind of hold its own as long as it's smart. Level three alien,
it's a murder film, it's a horror film. Don't isolate, because you'll just be ending up like, no, snake, wait, what?
Yeah, I don't know. For whatever reason, that's always my go-to example of like the game that was like, oh, a big AAA release, everyone's gonna love it, and there was a hype for about 13 days, and then it just kind of fell off.
Yeah.
No one played it ever again.
Yeah, and then they tried to make it go free to play, and that didn't change anything. Well, it got a little bit of a boost, like it always does.
It was really funny because they were I think they were trying to do like an episodic thing where they were like, evolve. Then they're going to evolve stage two. And then I think probably, you know, they're probably going to follow
stage three.
And they never got to stage three.
No.
This game was shut down before that
happened. Like most monsters. You never got to stage three.
Pesty kids.
You know the live service that messed me up? Anthem.
Oh.
I liked Anthem.
I liked Anthem as well, and just EA and BioWare just screwed the pooch. They just fucked it up. Like they do. Just like, we'll release this live service game. Right, what content have you got? Roadmap! Get out the roadmap!
It's like, well, here's the thing about that.
Yeah, but you see, there's games that survive doing shit like that. Like No Man's Sky.
Ah, but No Man's Sky wasn't meant to be like a full live service game. I mean, that had its own problems of advertising itself as a multiplayer game with no multiplayer initially.
Intended!
yeah, they sort of pretended there was multiplayer. You know, it's like, you are playing it with other people, but there's so many planets, you'll never meet them. Not really the truth, but then again, that was the thing. But yeah, no, No Man's Sky is one of those that learned from the mistakes of hype and PR. Because now it's a functional game. It's got multiplayer, it's got a lot of stuff in it. It's close to what it was originally envisioned.
What it said it was going to be.
Yeah. And there, it took its time and got there. Preferably, for me, I would have been on the idea of not to deal with Sony's exclusivity deal and have just requested another year. It would have been tough on the company, but another year to get close to feature complete. And also, Sean Murray.
I was going to say there wasn't even any story time when it first came out, was there?
Oh, like Anthem.
Nothing.
There was. It was like hidden in the classic BioWare style. Codex. We're not. You're not here to read and learn about the lore. You're here to shoot things and get more loot. Yeah, but I need a reason to be shooting things and getting more loot to make your numbers go up.
Gone.
Like, yeah.
Sometimes you need it, sometimes you don't. I know. I played Overwatch. There's a whole fucking thing going on in that game. I don't care. I don't know a single goddamn thing about it, any character.
Is Overwatch 2 coming out soon?
It's got a 2023 release date now. So's Diablo 4.
Gonna make people pay for the exact same thing again?
No, worse. They're turning it from a 5v5 game into a 4v4 game or something like that.
No, I thought they're gonna go to 6v6.
No, they basically reduced team sizes, which means compositions are a bit.
So what they found out is people were losing friends.
it's normally a 6v6, I think.
Oh, 6v6, and they've moved it down to 5v5. Then that's. They basically the numbers were reduced.
You each attack, you know, like damage, tank, and support is like considered a balanced team. So
yeah, didn't I remember watching a Score esports video on that though? That didn't teams start just going into full tank meta, and it just like ruined the experience because something happened in one of the patches that meant that a viable trick was just to have a team of tanks. And then the only way to counter that team of tanks was to have another team of tanks, and it just became overblock.
Tankception.
Overblock, yeah.
Yeah. But it was funny because I was actually also watching a video by the YouTuber TB Skyen. It was one of his What the Deal or What's the Deal with videos, actually talking about Zeri and Valorant's Neon. Which, what's the best way to quickly go on it? So we know Zeri in League of Legends, yeah. You know, orange hair, like green haired girl, lightning attacks, finger, pew, 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 static electricity, all that business. Okay. That she was developed at the same time as a Valorant agent by the name of Neon. And it was basically what it all turns down to. They were developed in tandem for cross-promotion and to tease people with the whole League of Legends multiverse idea that they did in that one event at the end of Arcane, where it was like a little visual novel with you being stuck in some sort of multiversal thing where you could speak to the Valorant people while trying to save Piltover from Jinx. Spoilers.
Oh my god, I can't believe you said her name.
But yeah, no, it's like.
You don't talk about Jinx.
Steph's fading away. He's fading away. Oh, there he goes.
He's back. He's nestled into his.
We don't talk about Jinx. But,
he's nestled back into his character's arms.
Yeah, but basically, the whole design comes down to that through these multiversal teasings, Zeri in League of Legends is Neon in Valorant. They're both athletically skinny, as he discussed it in this, athletically skinny Filipino women. One, you know, is trying to protect her community in Zaun from other Zaunite scum, and one is a hacker whose static electricity is determined by her emotions, generally anger. And it just all comes down to, you know, all that stuff. So where were we on that? Overwatch and lore. Yeah, that was it. Part of the Overwatch lore is that they tried to do, or they tried to have lore in Overwatch of having this, what was that, basically MI5 style secret agent protectors of the realm business. And they get destroyed and then they all become what? Agents for hire? Facing some evil version of Overwatch. Their lore disappeared. They started with lore and then they just went, no one wants lore, do they? They just want to shoot people.
Isn't that what I did with League of Legends characters? I was just there's lore! And then it's like,
Yeah. The original League of Legends was the League of Legends, a place that recruited, that settled territorial disputes by bringing the best warriors onto Summoner's Rift with basically whoever won on that battlefield.
Yeah. A battlefield, where there are no consequences.
Yeah.
It's just people don't die and whatever. It's just like, go for it. See what happens.
And then it's like, these were all brought onto the field by Summoners, us, who would then do it. There were lower level summoners and they were the people who just spawned minions because they weren't great, and then higher level summoners helped move the heroes around the champions.
Can you imagine if that was part of like the League of Legends grind where like you start off and all you can do is control minions? The game would never fucking work.
God, that would be mad, wouldn't it? Look, all I can do is walk in a straight line into a tower and fall over after 3 hits. Well, what is the point of this? What happens next? What, if I kill another minion on the side, do I finally upgrade to a cannon minion?
Well, you can make it like an RTS almost, where you spawn your little dudes and you control them.
It's just eventually lane defense. But like you say, they retcon that, so summoners don't exist, even though some characters' voice lines still say summoner. It's like they don't exist anymore. You've made that in the storyline.
Can you hear me somewhere?
Yeah. Yeah.
Brando's you can't control me, summoner. Meanwhile, I'm controlling him right now.
Wise. And that's where it's then just gone into what they call now LOL Universe, which are just stories based on characters in the universe, and just
now they're gonna leave and that lore. Now they're going to do the lore thing with just Arcane. Just be like, all right, that's the lore now.
Well, technically on that, from what that's come on, Arcane is an alternate universe. That's apparently come up between talks between sort of like the writers of Arcane and Riot, is that in its sense, Arcane would just be part of LoL universe. It doesn't affect the lore of the game. It's just, here's an alternate universe where you wanted to know the history and backstory of Caitlyn and Jinx and Vi and Jace and all that, and we can tell stories through there. Don't worry about the fact that the stuff that we're doing seems to lead up to the events that we've now just established as canon in lore in LoL anyway. Don't worry about it, it's fine. But that's
I feel like that is like the only way you can have any reasonable semblance of consistency within, a big multiversal property like this. It's just like everything is an alternate universe. These are just isolated pocket stories. They don't interact. That way we don't have the MCU problem of like the more stories you introduce, the more you go like, well, where are all these people and what are they doing at this particular time? Why can't they interact with this story? It's like different universe. Didn't happen.
Well, that's part of why the skin lines are the way they are. So Star Guardian as a skin line is its own story, battle cast, and some skin lines do interact with each other. So battle cast and commando are two skin lines of the same bubble universe. Odyssey is its own universe, so on and so forth.
And a skin like thin scheme pack or skin line that you could have like either like a season of Arcane or like some kind of other like Riot developed anthology series, just have one season dedicated to it. What would you pick? just explaining that the story of that of these characters and these skins and all that.
Oh, right. So if we would say right, so excluding Arcane because that's already done. So if you were saying another,
excluding what's already happened in Arcane.
Yeah. So
you can't just say I want Arcane to happen again. That's not a very good answer.
Yeah. You see, I don't want to be boring because the boring answer there would be Demacia and Noxus.
Is that a skin line? Is that a
no? But I mean, okay. I mean, all right. So I guess in
terms. I mean, specifically, if you were to tell a story about like, you know, like because they're all like.
So if I was to take one of these other universes, i.e., Star Guardian or something like that, then yeah.
Yeah, the Star Guardian universe, or fucking the Pentakill universe, just anything. Take that universe, that sort of theme, and the characters that are related to it, and make a story out of it. One season.
I would actually let's say Odyssey. I'd like the whole idea of basically to me that's League of Legends' take on Red Dwarf or like Cowboy Bebop or something like that. This just misfit ragtag group of space people.
I say Academy.
And Kane's the Battle Academia is also a good one. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I mean, hey, this the school setting, it's classic.
Be easy to work. You can get all the tropes of anime in there.
Plus, you could do a thing where you'd be like, it's like, well, there's like magic, but also technology at the same time. It's like, let's make that.
I've just thought of it. The Pentakill idea. You just do it like We Are Spinal Tap. It's just like just turn Pentakill into like a mockumentary. Some sort of fly on the wall.
The running joke could be like Karthus, like he is like in universe he like claims that he is dead, like that he is an undead spirit, but like he's not, but he's, maybe he is.
Yeah,
like it's ambiguous as to whether he is actually dead or not.
Yeah, so he just happens. he's basically lost a chapter Karthus, isn't he? Because normal Pentakill Karthus still floats around and still looked undead and like a wraith. Pentakill Lost Chapter Karthus, the most recent skin line, is just a man. Though there's nothing that stops him from being a necromancer or some sort of idea. But I'm just loving like some sort of idea, or just a particular just a situation now of just this. Like, this has just ended up into a topic now. I love it. Just having an idea of just like they're looking at the Billboard charts or something along the line, and they just see. I don't know. They're just seeing Black Sabbath beats Pentakill in the charts somewhere, and then suddenly you just hear Karthus just go, ah! And then suddenly there's like a breaking news story that Black Sabbath has suddenly just all died at the same time. He's just like
the Resistance skins, number nine now. By the way, are the ones that are against
Battlecast. Thank you. Yeah, I knew it was something on that line. Thank you very much.
Well, it'd be like you could have the Pentakill Sona is like you could say that she's like she's really trying to get away from like her like J-pop idol days of when she was just like regular Sona, just jamming out, or even like DJ Sona. She's trying to get away from that image.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just loving that they actually, you know, because they always do the talking head segments or something, and she's just there, and she's not speaking because she's still mute in this universe. She's just reacting and still doing stuff, and then, like, the camera pulls back, and you see her room, and it is just full of dark, you know, demon worship or whatever, pentagrams all over, and then just suddenly on one side there's a Teemo plushie or something, just along the line, and the camera picks it up, and then she's just like looking at it, and she just looks shocked, and just like the wham, it just there's just a crescendo happens, and it just blasts a Teemo out of a window or something, you know. I'd take it, but yeah, just like sort of like this idea of just it'd be a bit weird, but now I've just got this in my head, but we're fan canoning sort of hey, lines.
Do you know what else I want to say?
Go on.
Soccer lol, because you have the soccer cup.
They've got the
League of Legends strikers.
So you'll have Blitzcrank, Yeah, Blitzcrank and Maokai are goalkeepers. You got Katarina as the referee. And you've got Twisted Fate.
After that, you've got
Akali as the all-star. Striker Ezreal. Striker Lucian. I love the fact Gragas isn't a football fan. He's not a football... He's a fan.
He's got his beer cap.
You got Olaf Alistair, has that as well, doesn't he? That's meant to be the sweeper, which I'm assuming a sweeper would be like defense. And playmaker Lee Sin. And Ramis is basically the football by looks of him, but he also says it's a sweeper, so I'm assuming the defense.
Oh my god, it's Rune Terran Reject. We had a TV show on Nickelodeon in the UK called Renford Rejects, and it was about a youth club football team that wanted to make it big in children's football, which was
which, whatever that means.
Yeah, well, no,
it's football, but yeah.
Yeah, no, they were all the whole point is rejects. They were basically outcasts from their various cliques, and they just join a football team with a youth worker and stuff like that, and hilarity ensues. So,
also, if you ever did make a Star Guardians thing, or is Narsa not be. Hold on, I gotta wonder, is Star Guardian, or is it the Battle Academia that's canon to the pajama, skins? Are they,
pajama state, yeah, because it's Star Guardian pajamas.
It's Pajama Guardians, right?
Yeah.
Because it'd be Star Guardians.
Yeah, because it's got the most horrific skin, which is Pajama Guardian Urgot.
Oh, yeah, because he's got the fluffy kitten thing, Anna.
He does. God, that's basically.
I don't know if I've ever seen this.
Aren't you? If you go in the skins, you can actually change it to set. By the way, and just type the set's name.
He looks so jolly.
Yeah.
So large.
He's so absolutely against type. It's just I am some evil Ken Baron created monstrosity that just craves more power. I like shiny stars and turtles. It's what? Just mental. I just want to know the lore.
Pajama Party Ezreal is canonically non-binary. Just be he's he is what he is.
Yeah, Ezreal is Ezreal. E Z. Oh, you're already dead.
Hey.
So
there you go. You could have some fun with that idea, and whatever representation win, if that's something that matters to you.
Yeah, this will come up on a VOD. Which skin line would you like to make into a TV series? Leave a comment.
See, I also really, I've always had I've always really wanted them to do something with the KDA skin line because of the for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's I don't know what that story would be.
Well, it's weird. Some of the lore's already there, isn't it? Was it True Damage? This is sort of the True Damage and KDA share the same universe, which is music. So, I think there's something about Senna joining True Damage at Akali's request and leaving her record company managed by Thresh, which makes sense. Because if we look at the sort of LOL Prime and the fact that Senna was kept trapped inside a lantern by Thresh, it would make sense that it's weird that in this universe or in the music universe, Thresh isn't an evil thing stealing people's souls. He's just this capitalist dickwad who just keeps people on contracts. And
which skin set do you think has the most skins?
Oh, man. Star Guardian's got to be up there. There's a shitload of Star Guardians. Project. You could honestly have almost a whole TFT set.
Star Guardians are split into seasons, by the way, on the list they've got.
I would assume that would be the same with Project.
No, Project's not broken up into season.
Oh.
My vote is Star Guardian.
Yeah, I'm still sticking with what I got.
Wait, hold on. Does that include Pajama Guardians?
Good question.
I'm not sure.
Because that could change the numbers.
Yeah, because in a sense, Project is not just Project. There's a couple of other ones as well that are not titled Project, but a part of the Project.
It depends
line.
On how we look at this, because Star Guardian Pajama Party thing is in all of them, technically, depending on what season you want.
Hmm.
But if we fuse the seasons together, I still think there is an overall winner.
Okay.
Which is Pool Party.
Pool Party?
Or Inferno, by the looks of this. They're the ones that seem to have the most.
I would have really thought the Project would have been it, because they like released so many bunches of them. Well, at least three.
You've got to think a lot. See,
releasing
what I'm also doing
at some point, aren't they?
It is some of the Project skins are duplicated with this, because you have the like renowned one, and then you have the standard one.
Oh, yeah, but I don't count. I mean, by that same fact, basically, Prestige X would be the biggest skin line, because every event there's a new Prestige skin. And you know they continue. That's why
it's 25.
You'd have to take right. So just Pool Party on its own, no Prestiges.
Yeah, it's just 24, because Pool Party has no Prestiges. It's just Pool Party.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
Technically, Trick or Treat beats it with fur.
Trick or Treat. Yeah, God, man. So much. So much.
Just a lot of talk.
Oh, High Noon beats it, and High Noon's not broken up into seasons neither.
High Noon ones. Just got a new set, didn't he?
And that's up to 29. Project is only 23, by the way, and that's including duplicates and shit.
Oh. Okay. I was on the idea that, yeah, because the problem that I had is that Project also contains, they don't call them Project, but it's like Cassiopeia has a robot skin that is technically part of the Project line. See, this is the thing. Just name all the stuff the same. I know it doesn't make sense, because there is no Project Cassiopeia. She was a... But still. That's just me.
Star Guardians, in Season 1, there was 7. Season 2, there was 9. And I love the fact that after that, it goes off miles away. And you can't just put star in.
So why are you still looking at skins there, Steph? We can briefly talk about what you've done this week.
Played TFT. Base engineers. And slept.
Alright, fair enough.
And work.
Fair enough.
Season 4.
Go on.
Wait, why am I back onto season 1 of Star Guardians again?
Yeah, this doesn't seem right. Duncan, I know you're not Andrea, but you know.
Okay.
I'll just ask. What was Andrea's reaction to the Game Pass news regarding the Persona games?
Because
I know there was hinting of talk that one day we were supposed to be doing, once we could jank out a way of playing Persona 3 Portable, of running two campaigns on that based on male character, female character, which, due to the news this week that basically the, for lack of a better term, the complete editions of Persona 3, 4, and 5 are coming to Steam, PS5, and Game Pass and Xbox, and no longer having a exclusivity agreement with Sony, and in the case of P3P and Persona 4 Golden, coming to Xbox for the first time ever.
Well, I mean, Xbox means nothing to us because we don't have a single Xbox console in our whole house.
But they're coming to Game Pass PC as well. It's like when they say Game Pass now, generally they're coming to everything. But you know, I know you're already, like, you're already X percent through Persona 5 Royal already. Personally, I'm happy because that means I can play it on PC and not have to reinstall a PS4 that goes
with its I'm sure Andrea will be happy to have yet another platform that she can play more Persona games on. But, you know, if she knows, then I'm sure she's excited. If she doesn't know, then she has no reason to be excited yet. Also, I did a quick head count of on just using the store in League of Legends. There are 19, if we count Pajama Guardians, there's 19 Star Guardian skins. Okay. Not including Prestige.
Ah. Okay. So headcount seems to be better than whatever listicles coming up at the moment.
Yeah, I clicked show owned because I have a few, but yeah. Non-like upgraded versions is 19. So it's up there. It's a lot, but not quite competitive with the likes of the pool party.
Yeah. Pool party.
Pool party versus Star Guardians. Let's get that fight going.
I don't know if we can deal with that. Steph mentioned before we talked, before we went live as well, of a new league champion coming out, hot off the heels of Belveth, who hasn't even set foot on the Rift properly before this announcement happened, mainly due to dickwads leaking everything and forcing Riot's hand and causing them to have to announce a character. And these are the same people that then respond when a character comes out. Can you stop releasing characters and bring it and work on the champions that have been neglected? Blah, 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 blah. Well, stop leaking the stuff and they won't have to early fucking announce champions. You're getting 5 a year. Stop being both impatient and underwhelmed. But then again, I am talking about League fans, aren't I? League complainers, because the people I speak to regarding League are, you know, they're better people.
So as much as you say the Belveth hasn't really stepped foot onto the Summoner's Rift yet, she's taking it by storm.
Yeah, I mean, I saw that news piece that you put in. I don't know if you and Terry talked about it last week.
Putting a video on of them, someone actually after 12 minutes, just basically get a ult and take Herald and just go mental.
Mm. I don't know if you know much about Belveth, Duncan, or her kit, or what it all basically revolves down or round.
No.
Right, so you know with Thresh, how his passive is that you drop souls, and when you pick him up, you permanently gain armor and ability power, but you don't gain AP or armor level. Sorry, I'm just coughing here.
She it's does the same with Belveth with attack same, speed, but with yeah, I was about to say she gets attack speed.
Okay, that sounds potentially dangerous.
Her ult, if she takes a void creature with a ult, because everything she kills, well. Any champions or large creature that she kills drop a seed or an anchor. Coral. She then eats the coral, technically.
Yeah, she absorbs
and
it.
And becomes her ultimate form. Well, goes into her original form.
Yeah, true form is what they call it, yeah. I think. Which is basically a squid. It's like a manta ray.
Yes, a manta ray. But in that form, if she's taken a void... Every minion that dies near her will turn into a void fish.
Yeah.
That enemy or yours, it doesn't matter. Any of them that died turns into a void fish near her.
Mm. So think Malzahar's voidlings times by, well,
there's gonna be
a lot of them.
That's going to get nerfed to having a limit.
Oh, it probably will, but... Well, I mean, at the moment, she's still dependent on her getting attack speed, though.
Oh, yeah.
And basically...
Yeah, but then seeing that her...
which she
slapped
with her fin.
Her E ability literally lets her just sit there and take less damage anyway.
Hmm. Yeah.
While pounding out and getting lifesteal. She is gonna... Her E's gonna get nerfed, and her ult's passive's gonna get nerfed.
Yeah. Well, I mean, say that. I mean, the thing that's stopping her from being nerfed at the moment, and this is what Riot considers when it comes to champions, is win rate across all levels of play.
The thing is, no one's letting her really get into...
Because this is the thing, if she's not, it doesn't matter how overpowered she is, if she's only overpowered in that one game that ends up on Reddit, that doesn't matter, because she's then lost, you know, 70% of the rest of the time. This actually come up, a Riot video explains how they buff and nerf, and it does come down to win rate of champions compared to pick rate across all levels of play. And the buffs and nerfs that happen take into account that high level, or the level of play that they need to adjust. So you know, Belveth, let's say at low levels of play, iron, you know, bronze, silver, is shitting on people, but at high level of play, she's just getting stomped. Then they work on little buffs to sort of persuade low-level players to pick other champions, knowing that it won't affect high-level play too much. And that's the theory anyway. That's how they'd all do it. That's why I'm sort of on the idea of they may, you know, nerf her at the moment, but her win rate across all levels of play is low. So there's actually a chance that she might get overtuned a bit more. I mean, I don't know what's coming up. I mean, to be fair, she's a highly mobile champion. Yeah. She's got 4 dodges, 5 dodges. Her Q can dodge as she attacks. And then she has this weird skill where she can use 4 different Ws, one for each cardinal direction, and then they have their own cooldowns.
Oh, east? I thought you said west. I mean, you know, level of play definitely makes a difference, you know. Mm. If you're a skilled player, you know, depending on whether you're a skilled player or you have a lot of experience playing against that character or
right
playing
now,
as the character, it's like, that'll make a big difference in people responding to her.
Mm. Right now, she has a 50% win chance, but a 50% ban rate as well.
So, really, at that point, arguably, she's balanced.
The one she's struggling against the most is tanks.
Probably the reason that she's getting banned a lot is because she's new and no one knows how to deal with her. They just don't want to deal with her.
Yeah. So I think she'd need a little bit more time. At this point she's been out for...
I mean, that happens a lot. Like, a lot of the times new characters get banned more frequently than average because they just don't want to deal with a character they don't know how to work around.
Yeah. How face Zeri. This, in fact, actually, I take that into account. That's exactly the same thing that happened with Zeri. High ban rates, low win rates.
She has only got a 10% pick rate, though.
So, yeah, so she's... Right, so on the 10% chat time that she is being picked, she wins half of games.
Oh, she's banned.
So... That's not much. That's not, to me, that's not enough to justify a nerf by any stretch. So, yeah, like Duncan said, I'm on the agreement there that, you know, it's she's being banned because no one knows how to play against her yet. She's not.
I wonder if they've made a thing for Aram further.
Oh, they'll be...
Adjust her ult.
Yeah, that'll be on the fandom page. There'll always be something about that.
Oh. Void kills spawn from nearby turrets being destroyed.
What?
In Aram's, her endless banquet spawn from turrets that have been destroyed.
Okay. Of course, they would have to do some sort of adjustments on there because she hasn't got a load of neutrals to kill as well.
Yeah. She also gains 2 stacks from nearby siege minions that die from her for a stack.
Oh, Duncan, I saw what you put in the general chat. Oh, dear. What a man. Right. Any other order of business anyone wants to talk about?
I think I'm pretty much good.
Cool.
We spent a lot of time talking about League of Legends, but hey, you know what? We spent a long time playing League of Legends, so I don't really make sense.
That's the thing. We have a Thursday stream where we play a lot of it, and then on our off times when we're all around, that's generally the group game that we gather towards.
Hey, Ryan, guess what?
What?
The champions that Belvas loses against 50% of the time all have increased in pick rates and win rates since she's come out.
Oh, wonderful. That's what's happened. Sorry, I'm also playing this season's League of Legends Super Fantasy, which is basically a fantasy, like an actual fantasy league. And that explains why my points haven't loaded, because basically it's broken.
Rip.
It's bad. 3 days. They've had a super week, 3 days, and the scores have correctly been calculated for day two. They cancelled day one, and it looks like they're cancelling day three. A shame, because I feel I've been doing very average. And I like being very average. I usually suck at these sort of fantasy league style things, but yeah. Well, that's another thing to talk about another time. Generally, if I win, that'd be great. I won't win. So, thanks for listening, everyone, or watching, and in the case of Jaffa, saying hello. And if you like what you hear, give us a like, share, and subscribe, and follow. And we stream pretty much all week. Well, not all week. We stream at least once a day throughout a week.
We'll probably be back again on Tuesday for a Fire Emblem stream in the evening. Maybe we'll have a Persona. Maybe we won't. We'll see how we're doing.
Yeah. See how it works. I'll be back possibly tomorrow, depending on how close to finishing editing the first week of the Fantasy League that comes up. It's going to be a lot easier starting next week because it'll only be two game days, not three.
I'm just going to become my Minecraft character and never come back again.
Steph will probably get some sort of group stream again going on Wednesday. We'll do some team fighting on Thursday. We'll play a party game on Friday. And then RPGs through the weekend.
Oh, if something does happen on Wednesday, it'll probably be a later one than what we normally do.
Fair enough. If you can get people around, that'll be a thing.
I'm hoping to get that one right there above us.
Well, I should be there. I can't think of any reason why I wouldn't be there.
Well, there you go. Then the only person you'd need to get is the other one. So that'll be how that works. Right. What's coming on here? What's this announcement?
Apparently Sapphire's dying.
Oh.
Rip.
Well, that's put a back burner on the thing. We better go then. Right. See you later, everyone.
On that cliffhanger.
Yeah, on that cliffhanger. Have a nice rest
The way day. Ryan makes it sound out like we're all going to get in the next plane to Canada. Told you, I'm coming for that snail thing.
Wow. Right. See you later, everyone.
If we get there that fast, Ryan, I'll be amazed.
Yeah. All right. In a bit. Outro now.